Hi, welcome back to Fan Fiction.
I'm nervous. Yeah, we have not read this.
Yeah, these are called cold read. In the acting world, these are called
in
cold readings.
The biz. This is a cold read. Ben, our great producer, has looked over many, many hours of fan fiction, for which I imagine he deserves some kind of award and will never recover. Some of them are you guys. You guys. So many different pairings of people having so many different sexual experiences. So this is what he sent us.
Yeah.
And let's see. We've got some information here.
Yeah. Posted originally on the Archive of Our Own, which is archiveofourown.org. The rating is explicit. Archive warnings are graphic depictions of violence and major character death. Category F/M.
I don't know what that means.
Female, male?
Possibly.
Fandom, Prison Break. Uh-huh. Relationships, Michael Scofield, Sarah Tancredi, Lincoln Burrows, Jane Phillips. Jane Phillips? Was she the...
Yeah, I think she was the blonde, long-haired blonde woman.
Who says, don't worry, like...
Punches her in the face. She's
Yeah, I can take it. Mm-hmm. Agent Paul Kellerman, Aldo Burrows, Jane Phillips again, Lincoln Burrows, LJ Burrows, Michael Scofield, Sarah Tancredi, Frank Tancredi, Caroline Reynolds, Cooper Green. Additional tags, alternate canon, AU,
don't know what that is.
Het, H-E-T, don't know what
hetero?
That is.
Hetero?
Uh-huh, could be. Happy ending.
I'm so nervous.
Don't know what that means?
Nope.
Language English series part 6 of Full Circle, but we're starting here.
Just
one section. We're starting here. Originally published on, September 23rd, 2006, completed on February 7th, 2012, 153,305 words, 19 chapters.
Okay, so this was started at some point after season 1. Mm-hmm. And completed after season maybe 3. It was written, this is called Safe House. It was written by Ms. Genevieve, or Genevieve, depending on where you live and how you say things. The summary is, the words safe house conjure up a picture of a dark and fortified hideout. Certainly not this plain but clean wooden house in the outer suburbs. Michael, Sarah. Spoilers for season 1 and season 2, pretty much AU from Scan onwards, but borrows events from First Down, Subdivision, Buried, Bolshoi Booze, Disconnected in Chicago, and if you know what any of that means, you are doing better than we are.
I gotta guess.
Okay.
AU alternate universe?
Oh, I think that's right. As opposed to the chemical symbol for gold. Yeah.
Or Austria.
I'm gonna do chemistry jokes this entire time. That's
wow.
That is in fact
this podcast is going to explode.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, here we come.
Not a chemical joke.
Notes.
I asked on my LJ.
Live journal.
Smart. For some writing prompts to jog my brain, the first one is for time agent.
Sounds like a handle.
Time underscore agent. That's the name of somebody who wanted some bonding between Lincoln and Sarah. It fits into the same series of events as my stories, Better Than Nothing, Unexpected Choice, and A Normal Life, and will make much more sense if you've read those ones.
So you guys may have to go back and do some homework.
Right. But we're going to jump in with Safe House.
We're going to jump in. And also, clearly, Ms. Genevieve has written quite a lot of fan fiction. So this is an experienced writer. Chapter 1. Paul, you want to start us off?
Oh, boy.
Good luck, everybody.
Chapter 1, Safe House. Let's set our timer, shall we?
Oh, smart. That way we can break this up into manageable pieces.
Yes.
For the people.
Yes.
Okay, while you set your timer, I'm going to start reading, okay?
Yeah, do that.
She's not sure what she was expecting. The words safe house conjure up a picture of a dark and fortified hideout. Certainly not this plain but clean wooden house in the outer suburbs. Once inside, though, the surroundings more than meet her expectations. It's sparsely furnished with heavy curtains at every barred window. How did you find this place? Michael looks at her as though the answer should be obvious. I took out a 3-month lease under another name the week before I was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Tattooed on my, never mind. A silly question, she thinks. Is there anything you didn't plan in advance?
Nope.
His eyes lock with hers. A few things.
Ooh.
She clears her throat. Nice suit, she says hastily, then wants to bite off her tongue. Perhaps it would just have been easier to tell him she can't stop looking at him. But the sight of him dressed as though he just left a board meeting makes her feel as though someone had removed the bones from her legs. I love me a man straight from a board meeting.
Yes, you do.
He flushes, or perhaps she just imagines it. Thank you. She glances at Lincoln waiting in the hallway, a casually disarrayed contrast to his younger brother. Well said. Not your style. He smirks. Not really. She watches him as he walks away, then calls after him softly. You're limping. Cop got off a lucky shot, he informs her over his shoulder. It's too bad. Now, I wonder...
It's not too bad.
Oh, it's not too bad. Thank you. This is why two eyes are better than one. Any idea which...
Two pairs of eyes. Okay. The math, the chemistry.
You guys,
It is back to school
so
time.
So good
we
at this.
We have children in school.
I wonder if this is a real shot that he's referring to from some point in season one or two. Anyway, all right. You want to take over?
I'll take a look at it for you. Without waiting for Lincoln's reply, she looks at Michael, now watching his brother with anxious eyes. I don't suppose you've got a first aid kit here. As an answer, he walks to the far end of the main living area, begins to rummage in a large duffel bag. A minute later, he holds up a store-bought first aid kit. She stares at him. Tell me, you were a Boy Scout at one point in your life, weren't you? It feels perfectly natural to be joking with him, to fall back into their teasing banter, and she's not sure she likes it. She needs for him to understand how much damage he left behind. Nope. He flashes her a quick, faintly nervous smile. I could never get used to the uniform. He looks down at the kit in his hands, then sucks in an audible breath as he lifts his eyes to her. Do you want to talk about all... That was wet. That was
that,
wet.
That felt like a straw.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about all of this? Not really. A subtle flicker of disappointment dances across his face. We have to at some point. I agree, and we will. She can't believe she sounds so matter-of-fact when she's struggling to deal with the unexpected twist her afternoon has taken. Between her happy-go-lucky friend pulling a gun on her to Michael Schofield kissing her in the back of a rusty van, she's having a little trouble keeping her balance. Giving herself an inner shake, she takes the first aid kit from his hands and begins to look through it. But right now, I just want to make sure that neither of you or your brother are about to die from septicemia.
I think it's septicemia.
Septicemia. Is that sepsis?
I think so.
Septicemia.
We've both played doctors. I feel correct. Like we've both said that at some point.
Yep. Not only that, she thinks, Lincoln has obviously resigned himself to being her patient once more and is standing only a few feet away. She and Michael need to have that conversation, but she doesn't plan on doing it with an audience.
Michael's stubborn expression is all too familiar. I'm fine. She gives him a, I'll be the judge of that, look. She's quite sure that he'll recognize, then gestures for Lincoln to sit at the small kitchen table. Where's the wound? He points to a spot halfway up his thigh, and she quickly debates the best way to go about this.
Ruh-roh.
Something about this setting makes what she's about to do feel less clinical and much more personal. It's not that it makes her uncomfortable, but perhaps she'll let her patient decide. You can either roll them up or take them off. Lincoln gives her a look, then begins to roll up the leg of his loosely fitted trousers. She washes her hands at the kitchen sink, entirely too conscious of Michael's intent gaze watching her. A few minutes later, she draws up another chair beside Lincoln, then gently touches the edges of the bullet wound in his thigh.
Ah.
Michael, now crouched at her side, is still watching her every move. How do you stop the bleeding? The question is directed at both of them, but she's not I think that's Lincoln who asks that.
No, she does.
How do you stop the bleeding?
How did you stop the bleeding?
Oh, how did you stop the bleeding? Thanks, Paul. Two eyes. So grateful to have two eyes.
Four.
Maybe six. You've got glasses on. I've got contact. Is
hey,
that eight?
Wait a minute.
Is that eight?
Did you just call me four eyes?
I did. As somebody who has terrible vision myself. Yeah. The question is directed at both of them, but she's not surprised when Michael answers cayenne pepper.
Wow.
Taken aback, she lifts her eyes to his, instantly feeling the impact of his gaze like a kick to the stomach. Very resourceful, she finally manages to say, and means it, because cayenne pepper is hot. It gets sticking,
right,
stuck
right,
in his
right.
throat.
Right.
He looks at her as if he wants to say something more than glances at his brother. He gets to his feet and excuses himself, mumbling something about the bathroom. Lincoln watches. I forgot how much I love this part when you do this. Lincoln watches him go, then turns to look at her with the blue eyes that are both eerily similar and completely different to his brother's.
Absolutely true.
So true. Just so you know, he begins in the slow, dry drawl she remembers well, following you was all his idea. Hmm.
She smiles as she begins to clean the bullet wound as gently as she can. I'm sure it was. Not that I put up much of a fight once I recognized your date. She feels her lips purse as though she's been sucking lemons. He wasn't my date. Glad to hear it. She shakes her head as she reaches for a fresh dressing. If she didn't know better, she'd think Lincoln Burroughs was indignant on his brother's behalf. He told me his name was Lance.
Lance! Not my date.
I love this writer. Lincoln shrugs. I don't know his real name, but like I said, he's definitely not one of the good guys. She nods. Trust me, I believe you. Her job done, she sits back on the hard wooden chair. You're all set. Thanks, Doc. She pulls off the glove she found in Michael's first aid kit, and despite his denials, she swears he was a Boy Scout at some point and gives her a patient quick smile. Apart from the leg, you look much better than the last time I saw you. He doesn't return her smile. A lot's changed since then. I know, she says, feeling the sudden urge to reach out to him, to connect. I heard about your son, and I'm sorry. At least you know that Veronica will do everything she can to help him. His whole body stiffens, and he looks at her with dark, hollow eyes. Veronica's dead. She stares at him in shock, her stomach lurching coldly as her mouth opens and a single thick and stupid word comes out. What? His throat works as he gulps down an unsteady breath. They killed her, he whispers, his eyes glittering. They killed her, and there wasn't a fucking thing I could do to stop it. Pushing away her own distress, she reaches for his hand before he's finished speaking, his voice strangled by the harsh, ugly truth of his words, then shifts his chair closer to his, recognizing all the signs of delayed shock. I'm so sorry, she whispers, as she gingerly slides one arm around his shoulders, feeling useless and helpless. I'm so, so sorry. He sits immobile in the circle of her arm, his head bowed, and she tries again. This wasn't your fault, Lincoln. The hell it wasn't. The words are almost a growl, and she feels the tremor that runs through him. She believed in you. She gently rubs the curve of his shoulder with one hand as she glances towards the other end of the room, willing Michael to reappear. She suspects this is a discussion that is long overdue. Helping you was her choice.
He swears, as he lets out a shuddering breath that finally catches on a rough sob. Crikey.
He
covers his eyes with one hand, and she tightens her arm around him, trying to hold him steady. When his shoulders begin to silently shake, all her feelings of helplessness and awkwardness fall away, and she holds him as close as he'll let her, murmuring platitudes she knows he's not really hearing. He struggles to gain control over himself. Her heart breaks for him, for his son, for Veronica, for everything that's been stolen from a man who was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. About to commit a murder, but, you know.
Also smoking the pot.
Gateway drug, marijuana, gateway drug to felony murder.
Felony murder, incarceration.
After several minutes, he stops shaking, pressing the heels of both hands hard against his eyes. Fuck this shit, he mutters, then shoots her an embarrassment glance. Eyes red. Sorry. That he should care about swearing in her presence in such circumstances makes her want to smile. She knows next to nothing about their mother, but she knows now that the woman raised her sons. But she knows now that the woman raised both her sons very well. That's okay. It's hard for me to say, partly because having seen season 4, we're not entirely sure we like her.
Oh.
Anyway, He pulls away from her slightly and she lets her arm fall away from his shoulders. He gets slowly to his feet, his testing the weight. I can't read today, guys. Maybe it's because I'm only using one eye. He gets slowly to his feet, testing his weight on his left leg, then gives her a somber smile. Thanks, Doc, for everything.
She tucks her feet underneath her chair and looks up at him. You're welcome. She likes him, she realizes with a start. Likes him for himself as much as for his brother. He glances towards the end of the room. She realizes then that they are both thinking of Michael and mutters in a low voice, he's a fucking genius, but he's got a lot to learn about a lot of things. He watches her face carefully as he speaks. You've got every right to be angry. She can't stop the words from falling out of her mouth. You got that right.
I don't know why I
just... You got that right. Guys.
Just visualize that as like when you open your mouth and corn just comes out when you're like...
You got that right.
Sorry.
What you need to know, he goes on as if she hasn't spoken, his voice still rough with lingering grief, is that everything he did to save me. I know that. He lifts one dark eyebrow. You know, but I don't think you understand, not yet anyway. With that cryptic remark, he turns away, walks slowly from the room, moving towards the front entrance. She hears him checking the locks on the door a few seconds later, and she knows that their conversation is over. She stares after him, her thoughts darting in a dozen different directions. Both men had lost so much, and yet they hadn't hesitated to put their freedom at risk to spirit her away to safety. She's breaking several laws just by being here, she's sure. But she suddenly doesn't care. How's his leg? She starts at the sound of Michael's voice, glancing up to see him standing a few feet from her. He's looking at her with an expression that's both wary and eager, and she feels a flutter of sensation just below her heart. He'll be okay. He smiles, and she sees his shoulders sag in relief. Good. He takes a step towards her, then stops, suddenly looking much younger, his face soft and uncertain. How about you, Sarah? She swallows hard, but her throat still feels dry. What about me? His gaze travels to her face, lingering on her mouth, before finding her eyes. Will you be okay?
They look at each other for a moment in silence. She's still so angry. With him, with herself. And it still hurts so much, and she knows she should just turn on her heel and walk away, but she can't, and she won't. She's not a coward, and she's finished running away. I will be. He smiles once more, but it's a very different smile this time. Good, he says again, then hesitates, his gaze searching her face, finally, perhaps, finding what he was seeking. He takes another step towards her, his eyes never leaving hers. Let's talk.
Ooh.
Dun, bum, dun, dun. Bum, bum. That's the end of the first section.
End of chapter one. It's actually perfectly timed.
Miss Genevieve is a really lovely writer.
Yeah, very good.
I'm a big fan
I'm
captivated.
Intrigued. Yeah, I am. I want to know what happens. I'm excited to read the next part. Okay.
Seems.
That's it for this week.
We will see
you. Tune in
next
week for chapter two of
Safe House
by Miss Genevieve.
Woo woo.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye. What do you think, Paul? You want to do some credits?
Yeah, let's do some credits.
Okay, great.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Your hosts have been inmates Sarah Wayne Callies and Paul Edelstein.
Our prison warden is producer Ben Haber.
Cutting us up in the yard are our brilliant interns Ariel, Alyssa, and Cade.
The frontman of the Jailhouse Rock Band is me, Paul Edelstein, who made the music.
All the music. Our prison yard tattoo artist, logo, and brand designer is John Nunziato at Little Big Brands. Check him out at www.littlebigbrands.com.
Follow the show on YouTube and Instagram at Prison Break Podcast or email us at ppodcast@caliberstudio.com.
Join the watch party and our Discord community through the Patreon link in the show notes wherever you're listening to right now. They're amazing.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.